So the question is, what happens when I die? You ever ask yourself that question? You know, if you haven't, one day you will. Because death is a reality. Now let's face it. We don't like to think about it, right? I mean, if I were to call you on the phone and say, hey, come on over and let's drink a cup of coffee and talk about death. Probably would find an excuse not to come, right? And yet, the Bible is very clear. Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. You see, without anyone telling us, we know that, don't we? It is knowledge placed within us by our Creator. Nobody has to tell you. You know. You know you will one day die. And you know your life will be judged. It's just in us. But what happens after we die? Job, which is the oldest book in the Bible, asks the question like this in Job 14:14. If a man dies, will he live again? I think a lot of people ask Job's question. When I die, will I live again? So here's what we're going to do. For the next few weeks, we're going to take a side trip away from our series in John, and we're going to answer the question, what happens when I die? Will I live again? Is there more to this life than just this life? What we're going to look at is very basic, but I believe it's information we need to be clear about. We'll look at a lot of references in the Bible, so have your pen and paper ready as we go through this. Because you see, when it comes to the topic of death, it's important to understand what God has to say about it in the Bible. If we ignore the subject and what God's Word has to say about it, death will always be a mystery. It will be a great unknown that fills us with dread and fear. But here's the deal. In the Bible, God has given us a lot of information about death. He not only tells us what happens when we die, He also tells us what happens after we die. Today, we're going to kind of focus on what happens when we die. Next week, we're going to look at what happens to us after we die. The Bible also gives us real life examples of people who died. What happened to them? So this morning, I want us to look at some very basic facts that the Bible gives us about death. You ready? Fact number one, when we die, our spirit leaves our body. James 2, verse 26 says, the body without the spirit is dead. You remember when Jesus died? His spirit left his body. Do you remember the last words that Jesus said before he died on the cross? In Luke 23, 46, it tells us, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Jesus dismissed life from his body, and his spirit left his body. Now, we're not going to get real technical. So when we talk about the spirit, or when we talk about the soul, we're just talking about basically the same thing. Our spirit, or our soul, is really our life, our consciousness. You see, as humans, we're made up of a body that contains a spirit. Really, to be more precise, as humans, we are spirits that are clothed in a body. Does that make sense? That intangible part of us, that non-physical part of us, is our spirit, our consciousness. Okay? And that's really our life. I mean, if you think about it, even though we have physical features, the real me and the real you is on the inside, right? And when you think about it, all of these organs in our body that cause our body to function and do what it does, it's all functioning so that our spirit can express itself in the physical world, the world we see. But it's our spirit that's alive. It's our spirit that energizes our body. And when our spirit leaves our body loses its source of life. And it's empty. Actually, in the Hebrew, the word for breath and the word for spirit are the same. You remember what God did after he created Adam? He created a physical body. But then what did God do? He breathed into Adam the breath, or the spirit, of life. And Adam became a living soul. So you see, it's our spirit that's alive. And when our spirit leaves, our body loses its source of life, and it's empty. Understand that our life, our being, is in our spirit, not our body. Juan, see if they need earpieces. That means, when we die, even though our organs stop, our heart stops, Our kidneys stop. Our liver stops. Our lungs stops. Even though our organs stop, life continues. Fact number two. We don't stop living when we die. Do you remember what Jesus said in John 8:51? He said this, "Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Now, you may remember when we studied John chapter 8, the context of what Jesus is saying here, keeping his word refers to believing that he's the Savior. And listen to what he says. Those who believe in Christ shall never see death. You know what's interesting? The Greek word that we get our word see from, bera, also means to experience. Those who believe that Jesus is the Savior will never experience death. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. Now let me explain. He doesn't mean we won't experience physical death. He means that the instant our eyes close in death is the same instant our eyes open in eternity. That's pretty awesome. For Christians, it's a blink of the eye. It closes in this world and it instantly opens in God's presence. That's pretty amazing. Understand, there's no such thing as purgatory. There's no such thing as an intermediate state. There's no such thing as soul sleep. None of that exists. In fact, purgatory was invented by the Catholic Church in 1274. Did you know that? Before 1274, Catholics didn't believe in purgatory. But understand, when you look in God's Word, when we die, we continue to live. And the instant we close our eyes in death as Christians, we open them in the presence of God. And that's another fact that Jesus teaches us. Fact number three. Christians go directly to be with God when they die. 2 Corinthians 5:8 says, "To be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." You see, when our spirit leaves our body, in that blink of an eye, our spirit is in the presence of God. Do you remember what Jesus told the believing thief on the cross next to him in Luke 23:43? Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." So, When a person dies, their spirit leaves their body. They don't stop living. Christians go directly into the presence of God. Fact number four. One day, our body will be resurrected. When Jesus died on the cross, his spirit went into the presence of God in heaven. His body? Well, you remember they wrapped his body in spices, and then they carried his body to a tomb. But on the third day after his death, Jesus came back from heaven and went into the tomb to resurrect that body. You remember his grave clothes were left behind. Jesus rose bodily from the grave. And when he arose, his resurrected body was the same, but it was also different. It was the same than when he was alive, but it was different after he died. And I want to explain that. After his resurrection, Jesus looked the same. He showed the disciples the nail scars in his hands. You remember? He showed the disciples the nail scars in his feet. His body was solid. It was touchable. You remember he told Thomas to touch him to erase any doubt that he was really alive. Jesus ate food. People recognized him. So his new body was a lot like his old body. But at the same time, it was different. He could travel long distances in an instant. He could walk through walls. He no longer grew tired. And you know what's so great is that Jesus' resurrected body is a preview of what our bodies will be like when we rise from the dead at the second coming. Paul describes it like this in 1 Corinthians 15:42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. By the way, we talked about Job a few minutes ago. Later in his book, Job answered his own question. You remember he had the question, if a man dies, will he live again? And in chapter 19, verse 25, Job says this, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." So you see, Job, the oldest book in the Bible, Job, the earliest recorded person who wrote something, he believed in the resurrection. He knew that he would rise from the dead and that he would be with God. Now, another fact that Jesus' death and resurrection teach us is this. Fact number five. Christians will spend eternity in a special place called heaven. Jesus said this in John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now the place that Jesus prepared for us is heaven. And Jesus says that we will be there with him. Okay, so far we've looked at what happens when Christians die. Well, what does the Bible say about those who don't trust in Christ? Those who have never put their faith in Christ for forgiveness. Well, some of the facts are similar. For example, when non-Christians die, their spirit also separates from their body. Their life will also continue. Their spirits are also eternal. But the Bible warns that those people who haven't believed in Christ, they will not spend eternity in heaven. Revelation 20:15 says, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, next week we're going to spend some more time on this verse and the verses that come after it. But you read this, and this is a sad, serious reality. Hell is nothing to laugh about. It's nothing to joke about. What will it be like for those who don't believe in Christ? Well, again, the Bible tells us. In fact, Jesus gives us a first-hand account. Jesus gives us the testimony of someone who's in hell right now. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells a story. It's not made up. It's not a parable. Jesus never used names in his parables. And in this story, he uses names. It's a real life story. In fact, I kind of believe that because of the way Jesus tells the story, this is something that had occurred recently. And everyone was aware of the deaths of a poor beggar named Lazarus and a very rich man. And Jesus opens the curtains of eternity, and he shows us what happens to each of them. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke 16:19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And beside this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." Then he said, "I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But he said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead." Now, the experiences of the rich man tell us a lot about what hell is like. And I, as we read through that, did you notice? First of all, when the rich man closed his eyes here and opened them there, he was alone. Did you notice that? He was all alone. Can you imagine the shock? Can you imagine the fear? The horror of opening your eyes alone in hell. On the other hand, Lazarus, when he closed his eyes, he opened them and he was surrounded by God's angels. Did you notice that? And God's angels escorted him into the presence of God. The rich man was all alone and he knew where he was and why he was there. He was able to think. He was able to remember. He was able to communicate. He was in horrible physical pain. He was desperate for water. He was continually being burned by an unbelievably hot fire. And yet his flesh was not being consumed. He could see into heaven. And he also knew the truth about life and death. He knew that there was a way to stay out of hell. What he didn't know was there was not a way to get out of hell. He couldn't leave. It was a place so awful that this selfish, selfish man actually thought of others for once. He wanted to warn his family about it. But he learned an important truth, and it's a truth every one of us must understand. People choose heaven or hell by faith in God's word and no other way. And God's word says that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus alone paid the price for our sins. That's why we must trust him in this life. You know, when you look at all that Jesus taught, he had far more to say about hell than he did about heaven. He doesn't want anyone to go there. But you see, it's not his choice. It's ours. The Bible describes hell as everything that heaven is not. It's a place of constant torment. It's a place of pain. It's a place of fear. It's a place of horrible loneliness. And the worst thing about hell is that it is a place without God's loving presence. 2 Thessalonians 1:9 says this, "These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." In Spanish it says, "Excluidos de la presencia." Excluded from the presence of God. Excluded from the glory of his power. You know, we can talk about the fire and the pain and the fear and the torment, but the worst feature of hell is that God is not there. He's not there. In Matthew 8:12, Jesus describes hell as a place of outer darkness, of weeping and torment. And you know, I'd always wondered about that. If hell is a lake of fire, how can it be dark? Several years ago, I was kind of flipping through the channels of TV and came across a program on the Discovery Channel, and it was a program about firefighters. And it had a team of firefighters, and they had attached heat-proof cameras to their helmet so that you could see what they saw. And I remember watching them as they entered into this building that was engulfed in flames. And the instant they entered the building, in the middle of all of this fire, it was dark. And they had to turn on their lamps. And the reason it was dark is because the flames of fire consume all of the oxygen and eliminates the light. And that explains why the lake of fire, even though it is fire, it's dark. You can't see. Jesus said that the lake of fire is a place of darkness. It's a fire that produces intense burning heat and it consumes all of the light. And that's a terrible image to see in our mind. But it's even more terrible for those who will experience it for eternity. The fact is, when they die, those who believe in Christ will open their eyes in heaven. But those who don't will pass all alone into a dark, burning, painful place where God is not. and they will be there forever. We don't have a choice after we leave this life. When we close our eyes in death, our choices end. Where we open our eyes depends on the choices we make in this life. The person who rejects Jesus, the person who refuses to believe in Jesus, makes their choice. And when they die, they will open their eyes and be all alone in hell. But those who believe what the Bible says, those who believe that Jesus is God's Savior, those who believe that Jesus died on the cross and paid for their sins, those who believe Jesus took their place and now offers them eternal life in heaven if they only believe, they make the choice to believe in Christ and what He did on the cross. And when they die, they open their eyes in the presence of God, who welcomes them into His loving, eternal place called heaven. That's what happens when we die. Any questions? Yes. Can people in heaven see the people in hell? Good question. The Bible does not say, but I'll tell you what I think. The windshield of the space shuttle has a layer of gold on it. Did you know that? It's a thin layer of gold to prevent the glass from melting when it re-enters the atmosphere. So you look from the outside, you look at the space shuttle, you can't see in. You see the gold. But if you're inside the space shuttle, you can see out through the gold. Now the Bible says that the streets of heaven are what? Paved in gold. We know that the rich man could see into heaven. Right? He could see into heaven. I personally don't think people in heaven will be able to see into heaven. Because we're told in heaven there will be no sorrow, there will be no tears. And if we were able to look into hell, that would be troubling. Now, that's my opinion, okay? The Bible doesn't say, but it's a great question. Any others? Oh, okay. Here, then Esperanza, then I'll raise it. Okay.
You said Jesus came back to the resurrection in His body form. Do we come back in our body form at the age that we died? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Jesus came back in His body. When we come back in our resurrected body, will it be the age we die? No. We will come back in a perfect body. The body we receive will be perfect. We will be like 30-year-olds, whatever the prime age is.
Most of my 30 years.
Yeah, the good news. Think about it. No wrinkles. No fat, no glasses, you know. And as we study the resurrection, we'll see that the resurrection body, this body is geared toward this world. Our new body will be designed for
heaven. It will be a physical body. It's important to understand that Jesus, when God the Son chose to come to earth and be a human, to die as our substitute, he forever placed himself in a human body. And that's a thought that's just, wow. Right now, Jesus, we're talking about God, is in heaven, but he's in a human body. And our body, our new body, will be just like his body, his new body. And it'll be amazing. Yeah. Okay, Esperanza. How can the Christian live in the spiritual world now? Okay? We live in the spiritual world by listening to the Holy Spirit within us and following what he says. Okay? Yes? Which? What? Her question?
Yes.
Okay. Jesus is alive now. Okay? We have a physical body now. How can we, in this physical world, live a life in the spiritual world? Correcto? Okay? Now, and my answer is, the Spirit of God lives in every Christian. And the Spirit of God guides us and teaches us. And as we listen to him and obey him and do what he says and live like he wants, we are living in the spiritual realm as much as we can in this physical body. Life for a Christian here is all about change. Putting away the old selfish behavior and replacing it with selfless behavior, like Jesus Christ, where our character becomes less like we were and more like Jesus is. It's all about spiritual growth. So, it's not just obedience where we obey. It's we obey because we love him and we want him to change us. So, okay? Aurelio.
Yo quiero saber qué pasa con las personas que murieron y no conocían a Jesucristo. Porque mis papás murieron y yo estoy preocupada que ellos eran muy católicos.
Okay, she's. What happens to people who have died and didn't know Christ? Because she's worried about her father who died and he was very Catholic. Okay? Well, we saw any person who does not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, when they die, they continue to live, but they live in hell. Okay? We cannot judge the heart of another person. Okay? We know that being a Catholic or being a Baptist or being a Pentecostal or being whatever does not make the difference between heaven and hell. It is faith in Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. and I trust him for salvation. Regardless of how I was raised, regardless of what church I went to, that's what determines. So, for people like your father, the fact is, you don't know. The comfort you have is knowing that maybe sometime in his life, without telling you, he put his faith in Jesus Christ. But you don't know. So don't worry about it. You can't worry about it. Because for each of us, and we're going to talk about this next week, for each of us, it comes down to me and God. Not my wife, not my parents, not my children, me. All alone. Answering to God for my life. And so, find comfort in the fact that salvation is by faith in Christ. The Bible says that heaven is going to be full. And I think more people will be in heaven than we can imagine. Because I believe many people have made that decision of faith and just never had the opportunity to show it. So be comforted by that, okay? Any others? Yes?
And also take comfort that God is faithful.
And also take comfort that God is faithful. God answers prayer, and he's faithful. God also says, and this is important, any person who searches for God will find him. Will find him. And so, if we go to the jungles of Africa, or the mountains of China, where the gospel has never been preached, if people there in their heart are searching for God, God promises that they will find him and be saved. So God is faithful. Yes. Any other questions? Yes.
That's why it's so important to be witnesses to our people, the ones we love and the people that we don't love. I see this guy at the store I go every day. And I see how he opens his Bible to people that comes out from the grocery store. And I've seen so many times people listening to him, but I see so many people just rejecting him. It breaks my heart because he's rejecting God, whatever he's doing. They don't know what's going to happen. It's terrible.
He said that's why it's important that we share the gospel with the people we love. He shops at a certain store. Outside the store is a man with a Bible who shares the gospel with people. And many people listen, but many people reject what he says. And they don't understand the consequences. All we can do is share the good news. It depends on every person to make the choice. But let's not be guilty of keeping our mouths shut. We've got to share the good news of Christ. It's important. Yes, Selena. She has some friends who worship Buddha instead of God. So can they not be saved? Yes, they can be saved, but only by believing in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Okay? Buddhism is a little different because it's a set of teachings. And the teachings create a false god. Okay? So, Jesus is clear that heaven is only for those who believe in Him, in Jesus Christ. So, what you can do is just continue to show your friend how different your life is because you believe in Christ. And God knows how to touch her heart and open her heart to your example. Okay? Good question. And listen, I always pray for the people we work with, the people we know, people in our family. Pray for them. Pray for them. So, y'all remember Eustolia, right? Her story. When she was a little girl in the mountains of Mexico, every night she would look at the stars and she would say, God, I know you're there, but I don't know who you are. Show me who you are. And every night, growing up, that was her, God, I know you're there, but I don't know you. Show me. She came to the United States. She moved to Louisville. She started going to English classes. She began coming to church. And her testimony, as she told us that night in her house, she told us about being a little girl. God, I know you're there, but I don't know you. And she looked at me and she says, Raleigh, now I know him. Yeah. Yeah. Now I know. And that proves to you that those who seek God will find Him. And it was because, and just listen, the world's full of people like that. And we don't want to miss that opportunity to be the one to share the gospel with them, do we? Good questions. Good question. We'll have more questions and answers after next week's lesson as well, okay? So anything you can think of, be ready to ask it, okay? Because we're dealing with the facts of life, aren't we? We are. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God to bless our time of giving and worship. But also, as we pray, I just ask you to pray for the people you know. People you know who need to trust in Christ. Pray that they'll have that opportunity. And let me just say this. If you have never trusted in Jesus Christ, I encourage you to make that decision today. Right now. While you know it's the decision you need to make. Don't think you'll make it later in the week. But right now, while you know you need to make it, I pray that you do. Let's pray, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we bow before you. We thank you for these great truths that you teach us. Because we know that we all will one day die. And that our lives will be judged. And the choice we make in this life will determine where we open our eyes in the next life. And we know that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And it is only by faith in Him that we have eternal life. If there's anyone here today who's never made that decision, I pray that right now, while you're showing them that it needs to be made, I pray that right now they'll trust Christ. They'll accept Him as their Savior. We pray for the people we know and love, people we work with, people we go to school with, people in our family. Lord, we just pray that you bring others into their lives who can share the message of hope that Jesus Christ gives, and that they will trust him and be saved. We thank you that we can worship you through our giving. You are so faithful to us, and we give to you in joy. And we ask you to bless your work here and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.